Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I'm your host for this show. This is episode number 176, and this week, we've got an interview for you with Giz DePesnier, the co-founder of Outer Minds Game Studio, about the launch of their new mobile game, H3H3 Ball, created with the lovely Ethan and Ela Klein. You probably know them from YouTube. Catherine, you're fans of H3H3, right?
No.
No?
No. I know the memes.
You know the memes? Okay, no, I've been following them for quite a while.
I know Vape Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. But I'm not a big YouTube follower. I'm a heretic like that.
I've been following them for quite a while. Michael as well, my husband. We watch their podcast and stuff, and I find it quite entertaining, I gotta say. So when I heard the news that there was a game coming out, I was like, oh my goodness, this is really, really cool. How can they make a game around two YouTubers? But hey, Outer Minds were able to do it with PewDiePie, so makes sense. All right, of course, as always, want to remind you, thank you very much for listening to this show. And if you enjoy it, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. Catherine and I are the only two on this show today, so Kat, how you doing?
I'm good. It is so beautiful outside. I am conflicted with the games I want to play and the beautiful weather outside and the errands I have to run. So,
Well, I mean, you could go and enjoy the day and then play some games this evening.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Because I know a lot of our friends and colleagues are currently at DreamHack Montreal. That's where Simon is and why he is not on this show. It seems like the setup there at DreamHack is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, they went there at the Olympic Stadium. So it's just this giant space, like in the middle of the bowl and just with just chairs. So they put all the stages and stuff in the middle of the bowl, and then just all around is the chairs that you have to watch a sport event usually. I forget the name.
There's a stadium name chairs?
Yeah. So it's a stadium setup, so it looks big, wide, and great. I don't know how well it's ventilated and AC'd in there, because that place is old, but...
Yeah, I was talking to some folks yesterday when I was at the Outer Minds launch event, and I think they might have some issues with, like, the sewage, and every time they do a pass, it might not smell the greatest in there. I mean, the space is set up for, it's an arena. Like, it's a
literally
venue.
An Olympic stadium.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all pans out, but what I've seen in photos so far look great. Yep. And I'm sure Simon next week will come back and give us all the tea and all the shade and all the goodness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kat, what have you been playing?
I'm sitting on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I was supposed to start last night, but my fucking cat ran away. Just some context, my cat is 10 years old. He follows a very strict schedule. And every morning he comes back at 8:30 home in the house to finish his breakfast, go to bed so I can go to work. And he didn't come in. So we spent all of last night walking around looking for him, for him to only show up in the middle of the night at our door, starving.
But he came home.
He did. It's a great... So I haven't started Spider-Man, because I wanted to actually start a bit, so I had some first impressions for today, but I don't.
That's okay.
But that's what I'm going to be playing all weekend and all of next week, and getting ready to write a little something for Girls on Games. But
nice.
Other than that, I did finally jump into the Assassin's Creed Origins DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the Hidden Ones. And that one's a bit bland.
Yeah?
I mean, it's just like a bunch of extra side quests.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't feel like it's adding much to the story right now. So, mm-hmm. I understand why people were like, yeah, Hidden Ones is... not great, but everybody told me Curse of the Pharaoh is the one I want to play. And I didn't do the option to upgrade to 45 and go straight to that one. I wanted to try everything. So I'll probably hover between Spider-Man and ACO for a bit.
Well, I gotta say, based on what I've seen on Twitter, I think you'll fall right into place with Spider-Man because there is an epic photo mode.
Yes, with filters and stickers and selfies, and I'm just... I am not a comic book nerd, but I grew up watching the cartoons on Fox Kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I also watched the reruns of the old school Spider-Man from the 60s, the one that was badly animated, where all the memes come from.
Exactly.
So I've watched a lot of superhero TV shows, and Spider-Man was one of my favorites growing up because he was so funny and so great. So I'm really excited to dive into this world, and the web-slinging looks on point.
So I have done that. I have played a little bit of that at Comic-Con, and I that was the first thing. It was like, okay, web-slinging, that was my iffy point. I was like, okay, they got to do this right. And I mean, Batman had it done right with Arkham City, Arkham Knight, all that kind of stuff. Or not Arkham Knight. Arkham Asylum.
The Arkham games.
They make it hard because of the movie as well. Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight. The traversal mechanic was so good with being able to kind of like glide. And then when I got into Spider-Man, it just seemed so intuitive to get to web-slinging that I was like, okay, this makes sense. And then playing one of the boss battles, and web-slinging is a integral part of that, even though you're in a fairly contained space, I thought was pretty dope. So yeah, I'm stoked to play that after I get through some stuff at work. So I'm really excited about Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, no, it's just... It's starting. I mean, Spider-Man just came out. We're, what, a few weeks away from Forza Horizon?
Well, Shadow of the Tomb Raiders next week.
Shadow of Tomb Raiders next week. And then after that, it's Fallout and Red Dead Redemption. And it's just not stopping from there.
Full tilt.
Yes.
So I've still been playing Fantasy Life. So the long weekend, I guess the last huzzah of the summer, I went up north. And yeah, Fantasy Life. You know what? Like, it's not a console that sells a console. It's the games that sell a console. Mm-hmm. And as much as I'm like, oh, my 3DS, I don't really want to play it anymore. Like, I want to play everything on Switch. Fantasy Life is such a solid reason for me to go back. And that's why I've been doing it. And I've got to give it to the 3DS. You know, being able to do that clamshell and close and, like, stop wherever you want. It kind of holds it. The battery life on that thing, like...
Yeah, and one just of the best.
Just the durability of it, like, it's great. And, like, I wish Fantasy Life was out on Switch. I don't know how they'd ever do it because the dual screen thing and all that kind of stuff. But I think they would have to remake a title. Yeah, I think they'd have to remake it too. So maybe Level 5 will end up redoing it at some point. That would be nice. Or another version. Because, seriously, if you like RPGs, like, this is a great one. And it's just got, like, that perfect balance of RPG and, like, simulation that I like from Stardew Valley and whatever else that I'm really enjoying. And then on top of that, on Friday, the folks over at Hot Frog released the 5th beta for Forager. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded that last night because I'm still part of their Kickstarter and or Patreon, sorry, it's Patreon, and downloaded that. So now they've released, I think it's like, go from 30, you can go up to level 50. There's more you can have. There's not there's a bigger amount that you can have in lands because there is a land cap while they're doing the beta, so that either they don't release everything.
Of course.
So yeah, I'm still sucked into that, so I'm really, really excited to talk to the folks from Hot Frog when the time comes, once that game's released, because honestly, for the folks who like Graveyard Keeper and Stardew and Animal Crossing, I think this is like right up everybody's alley for those fans.
Yeah, that game looks gorgeous. It looks so
it
fun.
Is it really is. It's such a great style, such a great concept, and the music is good. Really enjoy it, and you, I love watching these games in progress. Like, it's so cool seeing it go from, like, I did the demo and then the 4th beta and then the 5th beta, like, and seeing the evolution of a project like that is so cool. I was actually talking to one of the guys from King of the Hat yesterday, because they were at Outer Banks Studio as well. And I was saying to him, I was like, yeah, I feel like I've been almost been a part of your production cycle, because I've seen your game in so many different iterations, and it's coming out really soon. So I'm curious to see the full version of both of those games for sure.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because like Pascal did that twice. He bought Minecraft for $5 when it was pre-alpha.
Yeah.
And he bought Kerbal Space Program for $5 when it was pre-alpha. And just seeing what Minecraft is today and what it was when he and our friends started playing, and even Kerbal Space Program used to be just like a launch pad and a way to build rockets, and mm-hmm. your only goal was to go up and come back and not explode in between. Which was, it took him fucking hours to figure that out, because you need to be an astrophysicist to play that game. And now there's like planets and things. It's just so much fun when you can be part of the evolution of a game and they give you a reason to come back.
As a non-game developer, non-game designer, I feel that I've learned more about the building process, or the game creation process, by being a part of this.
Yeah.
It's really cool. All right, Kat, I think it's time to get into the news of the week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. All right, it's news time. Kat, what do you got for us?
Well, Steam is getting more terrible.
How so?
Just an article I found on Polygon that says how they're changing how their search works. And it's really following their anything goes model. So, okay, it's really crazy. It's the fact that you as a user will control how the search work. So that they take for granted that you know what you want. And I'm the kind of consumer that you have to tell me what I want. I'm the type of person that really follows Netflix recommendations, or, you know, when somebody tells me, hey, you like Assassin's Creed, I think you'll like this kind of game, and I know that person, I'm like, yes. But I'm not going to go like in Google like Assassin's Creed like games.
But I have done that, Kat. For Stardew lately, like, I'm like, I want to play something like this. So I write in Stardew Valley-like games.
Yeah. But would you go into Steam knowing that these are the types of games you want and that's just what you want Steam to show you?
I think it wouldn't go into that detail. I'd go and look under simulation games. But then often I would go by... I don't know if they do this on Steam, but I do see other people in my friend list have played this, and if I know that they played Stardew and they like that and it's something similar in the same simulation genre. But does Steam offer like the thing like fans who bought this also bought this? I you know, like they do on Amazon?
Yeah.
They do? Okay. All right. So that would be more my way of trying to figure out and find new games rather than to search in Steam. On Google, I've done it, because often people write articles that are like Stardew Valley like games, and then it's an article about like, okay, now you've had your fix of Stardew Valley, here's other stuff that's similar that you should play.
Yeah, those are curators and tastemakers.
Exactly.
Essentially, the way it's going to work now, and this is a statement from Valve, is basically they're giving us the ability to tailor what games are displayed for us. We can indicate specific developers, publishers, and curators that will be excluded from our search results.
Oh.
And that we can use tags to create a barrier between us and the type of content that we don't want to see. It's weird because it's excluding.
Yeah, that is
different. So the statement from Valve says, we often see developers who tell us their game contains mature content, but not sex or violence. You can now filter those games out if you wish. The second is an adults-only filter, which allows you to filter out games that feature explicit or sexual content. So they added those two filter mature contents are adults only, so that you can, that's the kind of filter usually you go for. No, like, I want family games. I'm going to filter out the mature stuff, but being like, yeah, I want to filter out all EA games. That's like such a wide variety of games.
Mm-hmm. Especially since they're not just a developer, they're also a publisher. So does that mean it filters out everybody
that gets help
publishing with them?
It'll filter the Star Wars games, and it'll filter Dragon Age, and it'll filter Mass Effect, and it'll filter Anthem, and it'll filter whatever version of FIFA or Madden they might have on there.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
It'll filter
Yarny.
Need for Speed.
My gosh.
Yeah.
So you're excluding, not including.
Yeah.
So it's essentially cutting out stuff. So that doesn't really help search. That doesn't help you find games.
It doesn't. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I'm reading this article that you've linked, and it says we've now increased the number of tags you can list to 10 and made them into a harder filter. Okay, so it's more strict filter. In short, the store now assumes you want to ignore all the games that feature any of those tags in the most popular tags instead of just using them as suggestions to our recommendation engine. So it's cutting out instead of pulling to the front.
Yeah. That's what I don't understand. So basically, you know, they said that they would, if it's not a bad game or straight up trolling, the games could make it to the marketplace. And then people complained that they were like, but I get to see a bunch of stupid shit or shit I don't want to see. And their answer was like, okay, we'll give you a way to filter out the shit you don't want to see. Hmm. But it's still not a curating system. It's not a taste making system. It's not a, these are your gaming habits. Or these are what the friends you have or the curators you follow are playing or recommending.
Yeah.
So here, see this. It's more like, okay, you've played an action-adventure game. We'll show you everything that's tagged action-adventure unless you tell us to remove these publishers or the tag action-adventure. That's what I understand from this article.
Hmm.
And
what
I'm like,
they need is like, you know, in iTunes, well, maybe you don't know because you're on Android, but they're redesign of their store lately, you can actually go in and it's more like articles that go by of recommended apps and things, and they often have like a game of the week or games our staff are playing or things like that.
They have
that's
editor's
the type
pick.
Of yes, that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, but they don't have any tastemakers at Steam. They don't have any content creators or content managers or content marketers. You know, like content marketing is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why like a lot of companies have blogs and make editor's picks and things like that, to be the job of that person is to be on the pulse of what's going on in the community and, you know, make suggestions or articles based on what those community members want to engage with. And it's not like a sleazy marketing practice. It's just a marketing practice. You know, some projects came from having a very successful blog. And, you know, like, I work in e-com. The Shopify blog is a big source for us for trends. Even anybody that works in e-com that doesn't necessarily use Shopify or need that platform, but the type of articles they make is essential to our industry because they took it upon them to be a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Valve is not doing that for games.
No, they're not.
At all.
Not at all, it doesn't seem like. So I've seen this trend lately that it's almost like you get more flies with honey rather than vinegar. So mm-hmm. like for a lot of content creators, giving away part of your knowledge is part of the thing that hooks people. Because mm-hmm. you can go and buy a game umpteen different places. Ubisoft games are available on Steam, in Uplay. You can now buy them in Discord. You can go buy them for consoles through their thing, through a physical store, whatever, right? So mm-hmm. there's multiple different ways of where you can buy something. The question is what additional does that store offer you to get you to spend your money there?
Exactly.
And Valve's not offering much.
No, I think from what I'm seeing, to be honest, especially with EA, they're not selling much in Steam when it comes to like their most recent games.
Mm.
Like I wanted to play Dragon Age Origins on PC last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on Steam.
Now, is that EA deciding to keep that within their Origin Access platform?
Yeah.
Okay. But so that's a choice by EA.
I mean, you have to go through Origins to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case for Dragon Age 2. That wasn't the case before.
Do you think that EA's doing that to cut out the middleman, though, so that they can get that money?
I think it's hard because the way I see it as an outsider and a consumer is you want to be on the platform that people use.
Mm-hmm.
And Steam is a platform that people use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very popular platform. So that's sometimes true. Giving a cut to Steam means you don't lose on sales because you're where you need to be. You're where your consumers are. Having it exclusively on Origins means that they've consciously said, we don't want it in your ecosystem, and we're willing to either own up for the lack of sales,
mm-hmm.
or by cutting the middleman, we're actually making more money. I don't know how. I don't work at EA. I don't know what their numbers are and what that business decision was. But I've noticed that their new games, they're just like, fuck it. And WB started selling through Origins.
Yeah, because they didn't want to go and build a store. Because, okay, so to give you guys some insight.
But everybody's talking about building their stores because Steam sucks.
I'll give you guys some inside baseball because I used to work in e-commerce. So when you put up a store, not only are you paying for the hosting and, you know, like the web design and the maintenance, you also have to pay a bank or one of the platforms to be able to use credit card information, or pay PayPal and PayPal takes a cut, or pay, you know, one of the Stripe or something like that to be able to do an actual transfer of money. And you know what I mean? So there's a cost factor involved in that. Now, if you go and put your game or your merchandise on somebody else's store, usually they charge a cut that covers a lot of that in order to keep the store running and everything. So instead of paying all this maintenance all the time, you're just paying a cut of your profit. So that's where, you know, Apple, even the Xbox Online store, I would imagine, Steam, that's how they make their money on just being a storefront, is they take a cut. Now you're seeing companies getting out of that to cut the middlemen out, like Ubisoft and EA, by making their own stores. But these are large companies that can handle, you know, having the infrastructure to support a store. WB Games, it sounds like they didn't want to go down that route. They were willing to instead partner up with EA and use their store instead. You get games like Fortnite that we talked about last week or the week before. I think it might have been last week, about them not wanting to be on the Google Play Store for Android devices, instead wanting to go and have people download directly from their website instead. And you obviously heard me talk about the pitfalls that could happen by having like fraudulent download versions that are stealing your information, stealing money from you, all that kind of stuff. So like, it's a hard decision to make, to decide to, you know, stay within one store or another. And if I'm a user and I kind of like to stick to one store, because then I know where all my money is, all my games are, I know that I've only got my stuff connected to my credit card info, only connected to one platform, I can, you know, keep it all under wraps. You know, you kind of want to also have a good experience to know what you should be purchasing. Because I know I'm guilty of it. You're probably guilty of it, too. Something goes on sale on Steam and you buy it and you end up with this crazy backlog. And that's what Steam wants you to do, straight up. So it's weird that they don't want, or they're making it difficult to promote the games that are in their store, or seem to be doing it in a very awkward manner that doesn't necessarily bring the best to the top. It's just excluding.
Yeah, it's excluding, and it's like, if it's on top, probably they paid to be on top.
Yeah, that's true, too. And you can do that in a lot of the stores, right? They make deals to say how long you made at the top. I mean, you can buy ads in the Apple Store. You can, you know, to promote your stuff under certain search terms. Like, that type of curation process is really important for when you're launching an app, when you're doing this. You know, it's, you know, pretty standard practice, but I've never seen it where they actively want you to exclude things. It seems like such a weird press release to put out instead of just like, hey, by the way, this is an added feature. If you don't want mature content, you can turn it off.
I mean, it goes to show that Discord found a solution to what's happening on the PC gaming market, which is you put all your games in Discord, and when you launch from the Discord launcher, it finds the associated launcher, whether it be GOG Galaxy, Steam, Origins, Uplay, or Blizzard, and just launches it. So instead of like remembering which launcher or keeping all the game icons on your desktop, which I hate. I love a clean desktop.
I know. Mine is a mess right now.
So just having that list, and it'll find for me if it's Origins or Uplay or Steam, and it'll launch the game. Like, that's answering to that problem, because Steam is getting terrible. AAA publishers know Steam is getting terrible, and they're like, why would I want to be on this terrible product when they're still willing to be in other stores, other third-party stores, but they're cutting out Steam. I mean, I realize that if you want to sell on Xbox, you have to be on Xbox Live and the Xbox Store, and the same for PlayStation. But, you know, a lot of games sometimes they're just PC only.
Yep.
A lot of the indie games. And I think for what I see from indie games, like, what I predict is they're going to soon stop being on Steam because they don't sell enough, and they might exclusively be on platforms like GOG.
Be interesting to see, because it does feel like Steam kind of has a monopoly on the PC market. It's definitely the biggest player. It's the one you hear about the most. The one the most people are using. Yeah. Right? I think they'd sell more if they had a better curation process, and this is not the way to do it.
Right now, they're coasting on their success because they were one of the first to do it right. Now they're really getting... I don't know. Every time I launch Steam, I'm like, this looks terrible. Like, you haven't updated your look. The curation process is shit. It's hard for me to find anything. It's just like, now I just launch Steam to launch something that's already in my library.
Exactly.
I don't really shop there anymore. Mm. I mostly shop on GOG.com now. And, you know, and I have a... I'm lucky I work at a video game company. My Uplay is full of all the Ubisoft PC games. So I just launch Uplay and start a random old Ubisoft game.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, Steam for me is, I just play what I have in there. But I don't plan on buying new PC games through Steam.
Hmm.
Ever. If I can avoid it, to be honest.
Curious to know what their sales have been like, and if there's been a drop in the past few years. Interesting. Kat, for my news story, I was actually hoping we were going to be talking about all the stuff that the Nintendo Direct was going to bring us this week.
Yes.
Because we did have like a note that went out on Twitter. Nintendo announced that they were going to have a Direct. And then because of the earthquakes that they had in Japan, along with they had a typhoon as well, so, you know, a lot of natural disasters, they decided, out of respect, to push back the Direct for a week, which I think is totally, acceptable. Totally acceptable. Because, you know, in natural disasters and stuff, and, like, people are, you know, maybe people died, people can't find their loved ones, there's no electricity. Like, of course you're going to want to wait, and out of respect. But, of course, that means that the ugly head of gamers kind of popped up. And I'm just like, I don't understand the entitlement, Kat. I just don't get it.
Me neither. Some people were like, you should give us a free game for this. I'm like, why? Why, dude? They probably, like, you don't even know. Maybe there's not enough broadband in Japan. Or, you know, they're lending their broadband to help people with rescue efforts.
How rude would it be if people cannot reach their loved ones to find out if they're dead or alive because the cell phone signal or the broadband is down, yet Nintendo is willing to do a Direct and advertise? Like, it seems
and you don't
way
know,
out of place.
You don't know what they're going through. Like, with it, Nintendo is a company, and a company is built by people. And you don't know what happened to the people inside the company.
Now, I know Nintendo's head office is not near where the earthquake took place, but still, they could have relatives. They could, you know what I mean?
You know, like the fucking person that was in charge of organizing the Direct, they might left to go look for their mother in a rubble somewhere. Like, go fuck yourself, gamers. It's a natural disaster. Mm. Yeah, we can wait a week.
I saw some people tweet some of the responses that people were getting, and the entitlement is so obnoxious. Be like, we pay your bills, blah 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 blah, or your salaries, and blah 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 blah, we deserve, you're doing this and it's against the gamers, and blah blah. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So everybody just needs to simmer down, know that it's not the end of the world. Nintendo is still going to tell us what's happening. And actually, some of the announcements kind of came out anyway, because, you know, big companies need to move their properties. They need to be, you know, like, there's like companies like Amazon and Walmart and whatever that still need to put things online. So some of the announcements still came out. So I want to tell you a few of those because they kind of came out weird, but everybody's still excited about them because everybody's still talking about it.
Yeah.
So Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition is coming to Switch along with other consoles, which is really cool. This is like a chibi version of Final Fantasy 15. There's a interesting trailer out there right now. I really do like the chibi style. I just started watching this trailer and I found that it was moving ridiculously slow. And because it's the chibi version, low res, no mouths, not really much facial expression, I kind of got bored really quick. So yeah. I kind of got out of it. But with that being said, I do like the idea of playing a version of Final Fantasy 15 on the go.
Yeah, and it's the same story, just a bridge for those of us that don't have like 80 hours to spend on this game.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. The other one that came out or announced was Civilization 6 is coming to the Switch.
That is really lethal.
I know.
You know, like one more turn.
That would be me.
And then I take the Switch and go to the bathroom, and then one more turn and I take the Switch with me in bed and I play until it's dawn.
So November 16th, Kat. That's when Civilization 6 is coming out. So that's really interesting as well. I'm sure there's going to be more announcements and everything as, you know, when we actually have the Direct, which they haven't announced yet when the day is going to be. I have a feeling it'll be like just a week later. So was it supposed to be on the Wednesday or was it supposed to be on the Tuesday?
Oh, I forget.
I don't remember. But I imagine it'll be next week and probably like middle of the week. And everybody will still be watching like crazy.
Yep.
What do you think they might announce?
They probably have something else regarding Super Smash, because mm-hmm. it's their biggest title and it's coming out soon. So I'm thinking they're going to do this big thing with upcoming games mm-hmm. and then just a little tidbit about Super Smash to get the community hyped as fuck.
They did say they're talking about Switch and 3DS games. So maybe that Luigi's Mansion one they'll talk about. On the 3DS.
They just launched new bundles for the 2DS.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And they're getting prepped for holiday season. Because the Switch is still too expensive to have, like, multiple versions of it. But you know what we're definitely going to hear about is the online service.
Yes, that's true, because they're launching soon.
It's got to be in days, right? Because they said end of September. And, I mean, next week we're looking like we're in the middle of September. Oh, my God, my brain. Next week we're in the middle of September. Where does the time go? It'll be Christmas in no time. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what that's going to be all about. I will definitely be buying that just for the fact of cloud saves. That's it. That's what I need is cloud saves right now. Because I am so nervous bringing my Switch anywhere, potentially losing my game files. I did also hear some rumor mail stuff about a leak that the Yoshi game, the name leaked. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but I'm hoping then because of that going around that we'll also hear a bit about that, because all we've seen to date have been just like, it's just like the Yoshi game. It has the aesthetic with the, you know, the cutout, the mix with the yarn Yoshi and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really stoked to see that because the Yoshi games are really, really good. All right, Kat, I think it's time for us to get into topic of the week, and it's an interview with Giz, the co-founder of Outer Minds Game Studio, and we're talking to him about their new game with the folks from H3H3. It's called H3H3 Ball. It's available on iOS and Android devices, and it's a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that right after this break.
Giz, how's it going?
Very good, and you?
Are you tired?
I am.
Yeah?
Yes, but, you know, we just launched a game, so it's a happy time. I didn't sleep before the launch because I was, like, super stressed, and there was so many things to do.
I'm sure.
And now, even though I'm tired, I don't want to sleep because I'm watching the numbers, I'm watching the posts on the social media. Yep. Everyone liked the game. I'm super happy.
It's dope. Okay, so that's why we're here. I'm currently at Outer Minds Studio, headquarters, downtown Montreal. We're celebrating the launch of H3 Ball. It's so good.
Yeah, H3 Ball Rider.
With the lovely folks, Ethan and Ela Klein.
That's correct.
Yeah. And they... Okay, now, hold up. This is not your first time working with YouTubers.
That's correct.
Right? What inspired this game?
Huh. Let me tell you a story first. So we did the two games for PewDiePie. We did a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's success. So we decided to do a second one.
Yep.
Was a huge hit.
Yes, it was.
And then in between... there was Ethan and Ela. They wrote on Twitter. They said, "Oh, we're looking for a developer for a game."
Oh, wow.
And we decided to answer and say, "Hey, we're like a lot of people from Outer Minds were fan."
Of course.
So we said, "Yeah, but we're interested. Let's talk."
Yeah.
So we talked about concept. We talked about like it's been a long work in progress because making a game for YouTubers that are not like focusing on gaming, it's harder. So we worked hard, and it hurts me when I see on the social media some people that said like, "Oh, you made a game and then you stamped the IP of Ethan and Ela on it," because that's not it at all.
No,
we worked for over a year back and forth. At first we're not working full time on the game, but like discussing concept.
Yeah,
what should it be about? And once we hit the concept, like so many back and forth because they wanted to make sure that everything was fine and they were there for so many like small details.
Yeah.
They were very involved in the
And here's the thing. They're the voices too.
They are the voice. Yeah. So they sent us voiceovers. And funny thing, I did Ethan's voice in French.
So I was gonna ask you about that. Because here's the thing. Ethan and Ela have a very distinct way of speaking.
That's correct.
Their thought. Maybe this is something that I catch all the time because I work in radio and I hear a lot of people speak, if that makes sense. But the way they speak, their intonation is very different. You can feel the thought behind their words. Did you have to like embody that to do it in French?
I decided to use my own voice. Ooh. Since he's got such a strong IP, I felt like if I'm trying to be him, it would sound like a parody.
Okay.
So I decided to go as myself, yeah.
Nice. So I haven't heard that yet because my operating system is in English on my phone. So I need to go and flip that or get another phone and test it out because I want to hear you as Ethan and be like, wow, mind blown.
It's more me as myself than me as Ethan.
Oh, it's going to be too cool. Who does the Hila's voice in the French version?
Her name is Odile. She works here. And she's from France, so it's cool to have the French accent from France and the French accent from Quebec.
Odile from Multijoueur?
That's good.
No way!
Yep.
Oh, I love that! Oh, that's great. Oh, man. I find it really cool lately that I'm getting to know a lot of the folks that are making these games, and then I feel them in the games, and I have such a higher appreciation. Not that I didn't before, but... The appreciation, like, I feel it. Like, I feel like a little sense of pride on all you guys and all the cool stuff you're making. So, the game is, explain the type of game it is, because this is something I haven't really played before.
Yeah, it's tough to explain. So, it's a runner.
Mm-hmm.
Got some mechanic runners. So you're in a tunnel. Mm-hmm. You control the Fupa. The Fupa is Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like this big ball, and... You realize that you can sweat, and you're sweating so much that it like it, you're like a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And Ella can control where you're going because she's riding on top of the Fupa.
Oh.
So I would say it's kind of a goofy racing casual game style.
Okay. Because I was trying to explain it to my husband, because my husband is also a big H3 fan like myself. And I was saying it kind of reminded me in moments like the flow through some of the Donkey Kong swimming levels back in the day.
Okay.
Do you see? Not obviously the speed, but just the feel of like the tunnel system.
Okay, I like that.
It reminded me
of
that. I was like, think that, but faster. Because I was playing it today while I was on the bus, and I got to say, it's a great game to play on the go.
Yeah. It's funny because games last like about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're good, can go up to maybe 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're amazing, you will go further than that. Like our QA tester are amazing. So we had to like make the game harder because we couldn't kill them. And at one point, if it's an infinite level, you need to die at one point.
Yeah.
Because the point is to get further and further.
Yeah.
Then you unlock equipments.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can upgrade your equipments. They make you go further. There's events.
Mm-hmm.
The events are amazing because some of them are there's a precise distance. For mm-hmm. example, it can be 700 meters. And then in the leaderboard, like, it's the best times. So these are my favorite. But yeah, in the infinite level, you need to die at one point.
Exactly. At some point, you're going to run out of road.
Out of sweat, in our case.
Out of sweat. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So the little dots, they represent what?
It's kind of your energy.
Okay. Does that fuel the sweat?
Sweat fuel? Kind of sweat fuel.
Ethan sweat fuel.
And to replenish your sweat, if you hit fans for some reason, like, it create that body reaction, giving you more sweat.
I love it. So you can,
like, you know, replenish your sweat.
I like it. So what's the reaction been like?
I'm sorry?
What's the reaction been like?
So far, so good. We got like 4.9 on 5 on both stores.
Awesome.
On iOS and Android. People love the game. I mean, it's only been 24 hours
That's
now.
True.
So I'm waiting. I'm refreshing, like, Google, like, give me more articles. I want to mm-hmm. read, like, what professional thinks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like, at Outer Minds, we're super proud to be able to make games for influencer, but the games always stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know the IP, you will just refer as a YouTube store as the narrator, mm-hmm. maybe. Because the game is fun, and we made sure it was not like vulgar, sexual or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's 8+.
Yes.
Even though it's not violent, it's still cartoon violence.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it does have Ethan and Ella's comedy in it, and their style and their flavor.
Oh, yeah.
You do feel them in the game. Being a fan.
Oh yeah.
I see
oh yeah.
That.
And the thing I think we're the most proud is the fact that. If you like their skins and mm-hmm. equipment,
mm-hmm.
and every time a skin or an equipment was based on their IP,
mm-hmm.
you can click on the video and there's a timestamp and you can see exactly when that meme or when that style happened in their video. So you can click and it opened the videos, the YouTube video at the exact spot. So you're like, oh, okay, that's Teddy Fresh. Oh, that's Ella's clothing. Oh, I got that. And then the pizza, okay, it's Papa Pizza. Okay, that's that parody.
Yeah.
So there's always, the references are always documented.
Oh, that's great. So you can go deeper. Because sometimes, like, I'm a fan, but some of the references, like, I just know of. I don't know mm-hmm. their origins. And now you're educating me at the same time as giving me a game.
And
I appreciate that.
It's work at the opposite. If you barely know them or don't know them and, like, feel like, you like the IP, you can discover them by doing this.
Oh, awesome. So it's currently out. It's a mobile game. It's out on iOS and Android.
Yep.
Right? Any chance we'll ever see it on something like Switch?
It's not been designed for consoles.
Okay.
It's been designed for mobile play.
Okay.
So it's not in the pipeline right now.
But still, I mean, for the most of us, we all have a mobile phone that we can go play it on, right?
Yes.
Pretty much everybody. Awesome. Well, I don't want to keep you too long from all of this, but I do want to know, like, what's the next steps for you guys? Are you working on a new game, continuing this
uh-huh.
one, anything?
You just talked about consoles, right? So
yeah.
We're working on a console game that obviously I cannot tell you about. The only thing I will tell you is that it's based on a movie IP.
Ooh.
So it's like we're aiming But again, it's a work in progress. We're aiming for Switch, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4.
Oh, great.
So we'll see. And we're also working on another game with another YouTuber.
Ooh,
so
fun
to
times.
To be continued. But
nice.
None of this will be out for at least another year.
Okay. So I'll come back again this time next year and we'll have a conversation again.
It takes so much time to make games.
I know.
Because now it's not done. We just launched the game with H3, but launching a mobile game, like a free mobile game, once you launch it, it's not the end.
No.
It's the beginning.
You got to keep supporting that.
Oh, yeah.
Feed the beast, man. Feed the beast. Yeah, lovely. And I know last time we were here, it was actually the party launching your new workspace.
Yeah, the Pendaison de Crémaillère.
Yeah. How's it been now that you've been here for so long? You really like you in the space? Everything feels good? You can stretch your wings?
Oh, we love the space.
Yeah.
We're downtown. We're close to McGill. It's literally 1 minute from the metro. We're on the 13th floor at 666, so it's amazing.
I love it.
I love our address. It's super satanic.
Well, that's it. I said today to one of my colleagues, I'm like, people who stay in hotels on floor number 14, they really know. And you know.
Yeah, it's the 14th floor, but we know it's the 13th floor.
Exactly.
We're proud of it.
Exactly.
And we drew pentagrams using Post-it on the floor when we first came here because we know the drill.
Yep. There you go. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Best of luck with the game. I'm sure it's going to do amazing balls.
Ooh. I'm going to steal that from you.
You should. You should. Steal it all away. All right. And time to go have a drink and celebrate.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
Pretty much wraps up this show for this week. Thank you very much for listening along with us. Of course, before I let you go, I want to remind you that we have a lovely partner, our website hosting partner, that is Fun.io. If you're looking for website hosting, be it big or small, you should go check them out. All right, usually this is the point in the week where I advertise the stream team, and you know what, guys, we love our stream team. Those folks are amazing, amazing individuals playing awesome games, making great content for everybody. But when we started the stream team, we at Girls on Games had really, really lofty goals. And all this passion and all these ideas of what we wanted to do with the stream team and some life things came along, life decisions, life choices, life events, plus the progression of how GOG has gone, that we've decided to disband the GOG stream team. Reason being is that, you know, like if we can't give the love and effort to these folks that we want to, that we know that they deserve, we don't think it's right to like take over the slots, because there are only three team mm-hmm. slots on Mixer. And these folks are all such amazing people. We want them to, you know, we want all the best for them. We're going to keep, you know, chatting with them. They're still in our Discord channel. We do want you to go to the stream team page. We're going to keep it up for a few weeks so that you can go and follow these folks, you know, subscribe to them, like them, watch some of their content for the next little while. But we want to thank everybody who's been a part of the stream team, but we know that, you know, for them to be able to progress and stuff, we want to give them the space to do that. And if we can't give them the love and stuff that they deserve, we don't want to hold them back. So yeah, that's kind of the end of the stream team on Mixer. I mean, obviously these folks are all still streaming. Other people are going to jump into streaming when they have the time to do so from our team. We'll still have the GOG page there. Maybe at some day we'll do live podcasts or something like that. But yeah, we didn't want to hold anybody back and we really appreciate everything they've done. And yeah, that's kind of it. Kat, you got anything to add to that?
Not really. Just head to mixer.com/team/girlsongames and just make sure to follow everybody individually so you'll be able to keep following them. We have a lot of Mixer partners in there, so you know they're going to keep streaming. And I mean, Nixie just launched her own team. So, mm-hmm. I mean, It's a good timing, actually.
So everybody just go transfer over to Nixie's team.
Yeah. So, and I know a lot of them have very thriving communities, so you won't feel lost on Mixer. And we're, like we said, we're really active on Discord. They're still going to be in a Discord for the most part. And we're going to focus on other things that we're more passionate about. And unfortunately, streaming had to go on the wayside because it's a physical thing that needs physical objects.
Yeah, and you know, it takes some serious dedication to do that. And you know, when people get older and life stuff happens, you know, you need to prioritize. And we want to, like you said, don't want to hold those folks back. So we love them all. They're amazing people, and you should go check all of them out. Website highlights, Kat. I know it's been kind of quiet. You probably have a few things to talk about, but it's the beginning of review season, so it's going to start getting intense.
Yeah, and I know I've been talking about a few episodes that we had a Wee Happy Few review coming, and like our reviewer was like, this is a 40 to 50 hour game. We're like, what? Okay, shit. So it's probably going to come out this week. Almost ready. We have folks at DreamHack Montreal, which is a very big esport event, so you can expect more content regarding that on the website and in the coming podcast episodes. And, you know, review season is coming, and we're going to have a lot of people talking about the upcoming games on the website and on the podcast, so get hyped. And we were talking earlier about curation and tastemakers, and you know, our reviews come out when they're ready, but you know that this is about our tastes and what we think. So if you are the same kind of gamer as some of us, you'll want to hear what we have to say about these games.
And if we don't say something about a certain game, just holler. More often than not, we have an opinion.
Yes.
But we know someone who does.
We know the Messenger came out. We know.
Yeah, the Messenger came out and none of us have had a chance to play it, but we will.
Man, the soundtrack on this, though.
Woo. Yeah, I know. Kat, thank you so much for being on the show with me. Can you shout out your social media so people could track you down and find out what you're playing? And all the photos you're probably going to be posting from Spider-Man.
Yes, Bayek will be replaced by Peter Parker. CSDESBINS on Twitter and Instagram. That's where I hang out. Or you can find me in the Discord of Girls on Games.
And I'm Leah Jewer on most social media platforms. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down at our Twitter and Facebook. That is the Girls on Games. We are just Girls on Games on Instagram. No the in front of it. Discord.me/Girls on Games to continue this lovely conversation and more. And of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That is girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. It's been a lovely week. I'm really excited to hear what Simon has to say about DreamHack. And enjoy Spider-Man. I'm going to go play more Forager.
See you next week.
Bye!